Let's stand together and recite the Lord's Prayer. It's taken from Matthew. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk about God this morning. And we've been talking about him all morning already. But I have a question. This question came to me 3 weeks or so ago in a dream. In this dream, I was asked to speak at some kind of a meeting. I don't know what it was. Don't know where it was. Only knew one person that I saw that was there. It was dark in the building. A few things that I remember about the dream. The title of that message that morning was, Do You Know God? Or that day, whatever time of the day it was. Do You Know God? And I've changed that title this morning to Do We Know God? I believe there are many people sitting in churches this morning, or have sat or will sit in churches, that by their life, we say, I don't think they know God. Many who do not know God. Many who are walking in their own pernicious ways, their own lusts and desires. And that burden is what is behind this message. That we do not come that way. That we not go that way, but that we walk with God. Our lives are not our own. Our lives are in the hands of God, and He desires to give us strength to walk with Him. We're going to begin with 1 Peter, the first chapter. Beginning with verse 9. 1 Peter 1, verse 9. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Searching what and what manner of time the Spirit. I'm not in the right place. I didn't think this sounded right. I want to start with verse 13. 1 Peter 1, verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope unto the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts and your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. For because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. Our God is a holy God. Our God is one who cannot do any wrong. He cannot make a mistake. He cannot fail. He will not. And we can count on him of being that kind of God. But he has called us to be holy as he is holy. But we fail. We make mistakes. How can we be holy as God is and be failures? But we don't need to. I don't believe that God designed that we should be failing and faulting all the time. But he has given us the grace. He has given us the strength to follow him, to live for him, and to abide in him. He has provided for us in the ways that no one else can. I'm going to be referring to an article that was in the Anabaptist. I can't remember the last part of the name. It was a paper that's just come out by a man by the name of Gary Bidekofer. Gary Bidekofer was raised in a Lutheran home, a strict Lutheran home. In this home, so he was baptized as an infant in the Lutheran church. But he had relatives in another church. They lived in Illinois, and the relatives lived across the Mississippi River in Missouri. And so in the Sunday morning, they would get up and they would go to the Lutheran church and they would go through the service there and the preacher would preach. And when the service was over, everybody just disappeared. And so they would leave, go across the river, and go over to the, Apostolic Christian Church, where the father had relatives. Apparently the father had been a member of that church. He doesn't tell that in any of the story about him, but he had become a Lutheran when he married a Lutheran girl. And so this young man had the privilege of being, if you could call it that, it may have been a confusion, being in one church in one point of the Sunday and in another church the other and hearing different things. And when he grew up, he needed to make a decision. What am I going to do? Where am I going to align myself? And just exactly where he did, I am not sure. It wasn't with the Lutherans and it wasn't with the Apostolic Christian Church. But it was with a Mennonite church of some sort. And he became a school teacher. And he did a lot of teaching. And now he's an older man. Not sure exactly how old, but he's an older man today. And he wrote, and is given in this paper, 33 differences between Anabaptist and Protestant churches. And it's quite interesting. I want to refer to just a few of these this morning. The first one is on the holiness of God or the views of salvation. We emphasize that salvation is a surrender to Jesus. It's giving up out my life, my desires, my will for the will of Jesus. He says that in the Protestant church, the emphasis is on me and what I can get out of church life, and it gives me a ticket to go to heaven. What does that do for us? Where are we? Do we know God? Or are we just willing to change and be what we desire to be? Another one I wanted to look at was humility, differing views on holy living. Humility is a main test of conversation, includes yieldedness, lowliness, and submission. That is what we say. Is that right? Do we say that? Is that what we believe? I believe so. I think that's where we're at. But in many of the Protestant churches, they emphasize assertiveness, pride of accomplishment, self-esteem, boldness, and a conquering attitude. It's just the opposite. Another one emphasize yieldedness and surrender, and they emphasize independence. Another one, non-resistance is required of all public and private life. Military service is forbidden. And they say going to law and military service are condoned and even encouraged. This last week I got a magazine, probably 14 to 16 pages, from the Billy Graham Association or Foundation, I believe it's called. And in that magazine, they had quite a few articles about different states that Franklin is the son is going around to every state in the Union before the election and on the courthouse lawn gathering Christian people to gather to pray for the state. Thousands of people are coming out. And so this is a real accomplishment. But in that paper, the emphasis of that paper, every article in it, it was about the election, is that we need to have faith and we need to pray. We need to pray. I'm sorry, not faith. We need to pray and we need to vote. Those are the emphases that are going out, that we need to pray and we need to vote. That is the Protestant view of election, of the government. Our Bible says we're of a different kingdom. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my people fight that I wouldn't be delivered to the Jews." Where are we? Do we know God? Are we swayed by these things? I read somewhere that the Republicans are sending delegations out to the Amish communities. They said if we can get the Amish to vote, we'll gain 10,000 more votes. And they're doing this in Pennsylvania and Ohio in particular. Will they accomplish it? I don't know. Will they gain 10,000 more votes? I don't know. But they were thinking that maybe, just maybe, that would be enough to trip the balance and the scale. Are we walking with God? Are we living holy lives? He has called us to be separate from the world, not only in the dress, but in all manner of life. Let's go on to chapter 2. In 1 Peter, we have a living God. In verse 4, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, and also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. God is alive. God is that living stone. God is that stone that we are standing upon, that we are grounded in, that we are established in, if we know Him, if we're His children. We are those lively stones that build up the spiritual house, the holy priesthood, that is established in the church today. That is the church of Jesus Christ today. We are that people. God is not dead. He is not a dead God. He is not made of wood or stone or gold or brass or some other thing. He is not the God of America in sports. In the movie world, I believe those are a couple things that are the downfall of America. And the interesting thing is that I see that when people get their eyes off of God, the first thing they get involved in is sports. the little leagues around town, the church leagues, is playing one church against another, the competitiveness of it, it's addictive, and it rules people's lives. Talked to a woman on the phone one time from Massachusetts, I think, where that company was. And immediately she wanted to know if I'm a follower of such and such a ball team. Must be one back there, because one that I hardly hear of. I said, no, I don't get involved with those things. She said, you must be a poor man. Because it's her life. It's her life. That's her God. That's who she's serving. Then we got down, she wanted to know what I called about. She was supposed to be selling heat sealers or parts and things, but she's more interested in sports. Do we know God? Or are we listening to the gods of this world? Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1, beginning at verse 3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which he have to all the saints, and for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, wherein ye heard before in the word of truth of the gospel. I want to look at this word hope for just a little bit. We have a hope that is beyond the grave. We have a hope that is something built on something that is solid, something that is eternal. It's a message of love and care, and it is a will go on through all eternity. Hope with no beginning and no end, because God is hope. God is the author of hope. Let's go on to verse 6. Which is come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as doeth also in you, since the day we have heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. Let's look at that verse a little. This hope that we have of eternity, this hope we have of walking with God, brings forth fruit. It accomplishes something in our lives. It is like a fruit tree. That is, this year is a good example of that. It is just loaded with fruit. Apples, pears, whatever it might be. Are we? Are we loaded with fruit? That's what his desire is. That's why he gave us eternal life. Is so that we can be fruitful unto the end. Let's go on to verse 7 and 8. As ye also learned to be Epaphras, a dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. Your love in the Spirit. Epaphras told Paul and those of his company about the Colossian church. And he said, they're loving it. They are a loving people. In the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is guiding that love. It isn't a selfish thing. It isn't something that I'm looking at what I can get out of it, but at what I can give. Let's go on to verse 9. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will with all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Paul is coming back and he's saying, because I've heard this and because I like what I've heard about you, I am praying for you that you would be filled full of knowledge, of wisdom, and of spiritual understanding. Here we have comparisons. Which one is biblical? Which one do we want to follow? We're not here to follow the Anabaptists just because we're of Anabaptist descent. That is not the reason we are here today. That's not the reason we have a Mennonite on the sign out here. That is not the reason we do things, but we do them because it is right here. It is in the Word of God. And we are serving our Lord Jesus Christ. We are worshiping God. We know Him. And the power of His resurrection. I've been battling asthma the last few days. And it's getting kind of warmed up because of it. And right a little out of breath. Bear with me. In verse 10 then, says that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. That ye might walk worthy. We are walking. We are going through this life one step at a time, one day at a time, one hour at a time. We are walking through this life. And what are we going? Is it pleasing to God? Is it fruitful unto good works? Do we know God? Are we increasing in knowledge? And are we increasing in our favor of God? And in our understanding of the eternal God? In verse 11 it says, strengthened with all might according to the glorious power of all unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. We can be strengthened. We need to be strengthened. We don't have the strength in ourselves to walk on this highway of holiness. We need the power of God, the undergirding hands of our Lord to carry us through these trying times. In verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers in inheritance with all saints. And when we strengthened, we become a grateful people. We become a people that is like our God. He is grateful. He loves to care. He loves to help us. And we need to be that kind of people too. And grateful and giving help to others. Verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. God delivered us. We were in sin. We were walking selfishly. We were walking according to the lusts of our flesh. But he has delivered us from that. And he has translated us and he has made us a new creature in Christ Jesus. And he has presented us in his goodness, his love. Let's go on to chapter 2. Verse 6. For ye have therefore received Christ Jesus our Lord, so walk ye in him. We have received him. We are his children. And he says, now walk in him. Be in him. Don't just know about him. Don't just say, I know God. You know, there's times when people will come and say, do you know such and such a person? There was a young girl that was teaching school in Iowa. And every once in a while, someone would say, do you know her? because she was from Washington. I said, I never heard of her. I don't know her. And pretty soon someone else would ask me, do you know her? And finally we met. We met at Sterling. She was a school teacher there for a while. And when we met, she said, people kept asking me, do you know Clayton Eveleth? She said, no, I don't know him. Well, he's from Washington. You know, like we know everybody from Washington. We didn't know each other. When we met, then we learned to know each other. Do we know God? Do we know God? Are we walking with God? In verse 7 it says, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. A tree out here that is green, that is producing, that fruit tree in the yard that has apples on it, or did have. Where did they get them? Where did they get those apples? Where did they come from? They came because those roots are down in the ground. And those roots are pulling the nourishment out of the soil. And it's going up into the tree. And it's bringing out the fruit on the tree. Are we rooted in Jesus Christ? Do we know God in a way that we are rooted into him? We are become a part of him. Established, rooted in there, so that when the winds blow and the storm beats upon us, we just keep right on going. Is that where we are? Or when someone says something a little bit off about us, we wilt, we wither away. And we blame them for all of our acts and all of our actions and all that we have accomplished and didn't accomplish in life. He says, you are taught. We have been taught. Most of us have been taught from our youth. We know the Bible. It's taught here in school. It's taught in Sunday school. It's taught in every service of the church. We know it. But do we know God? Do we know, we just know, have a head knowledge? Or do we know the Creator? Do we know the author of the Bible? So that we can understand the Bible. Go on to verse 6. So, I'm beyond that. Let's go to chapter 3. And verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth in the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on the things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Mortify, it says in verse 5. Therefore, the members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, and he gives us that whole list of things. Are we risen with Christ? Do we know him? Is he living in our lives? Wednesday night, we heard from Isaiah 40. We heard about the greatness of God. How great he is. He meets out measures the water in the hollow of his hand. And all of those things that we were led to talk and think about Wednesday night. Job said, I knew about God. But when God talked to him out of that whirlwind, he says, I knew But now I knew Noah fresh. I know you personally because we've talked together. When we talk to God, then we can know him. Because he will talk back to us. Another magazine that we've been getting the last while has some articles in it, and there was one there that caught my attention this week. Last week, I guess it was. I'd like to share a story in this article. It was about a youth group in a church. I don't know what church it was. It doesn't say. I don't know when it was even took place. Many years ago, I know that. But this church was having revival meetings. And I don't know how long they lasted. It almost seems like it must have been over a week. And after the last evening, the evangelist and the pastor were sitting in the pastor's house and talking, which is quite common. And at that point, he had a question. He had a question about the youth group. And for an evangelist to have questions after the end of the series of revival meetings is not uncommon either. I've had to answer some questions that they had picked up things during the week and wanted an answer for them. And so I can kind of visualize this conversation going on. And this evangelist says, I got a question about your youth. He said, I have been all over this country preaching in evangelistic meetings and I have never met a youth group like yours. What did you do to accomplish this? He said, I didn't do anything. But he said, I'll tell you the story. I'll tell you the story. And I'm not, it would take me a half an hour to read this story, if I could. He told him the story of their youth. He said, we used to have a youth group that was vital. They were out looking for things to do. They were out trying to help people. They wanted to. But something happened and it slowed down. And they said they just kind of lost interest. And I'm not saying this. I'm not giving this story only for the youth. I'm giving it for us all. There was a time when our youth people, young people, were zealous and full of good works. But alas, there came a change. So gradual did it come that it was scarcely noticeable at first. How gradually can we walk away from God, quit listening to him, and become selfish? And he went on to tell this story. He said our city is growing very rapidly and there's a lot of industry here and people are coming in because there's work in this town. And there was a widowed woman. Maybe she wasn't a widow when they came. Her husband died. She came to town with one son. This son was a timid boy. He reserved by nature and found hard to make friends in this strange place. Have you ever been that kind of a person? Be someplace and it's just a little hard to kind of break in. But you know how a young crave the company and others, and the boy, lonely for a young friend, was at last drawn to the pool rooms. He was not a Christian. His mother was not a Christian, apparently. At least not walking with God like she should have been. But this boy was drawn to the pool rooms. And the pool rooms was a rough place. Normally, taverns have pool tables. I don't know if this was different or not. But he was led away. Pretty soon he was not bringing home the money that mother needed to survive on. He was going downhill very rapidly. And he had never made any preparation for eternity. She had, however, on this particular night of which I speak, sent for me as a minister to speak to her son concerning his soul. This son had gone out into drinking and other things, and it was taking his health down, down, down. And he was lying on his bed, almost dead. This mother called and asked him to come and to talk to the boy about God. And so he said, I was very glad to do that. And he went and he talked to him and he showed him the way of salvation. But the boy didn't respond. Finally, the mother asked him, could you bring a group of youth from your church to sing for him? And so the next night, he gathered together some of the youth. They were very organized. They had their different committees in the youth group. And so he picked out the heads of those committees and brought that group into the small room to sing for this poor boy. They sang, they read the scriptures, and again the pastor opened the word of God to him. Finally, this boy was so weak, he looked around the room. And he picked out a tall man. He says, do you remember? Do you remember one evening? You were standing down in such and such a corner. And there was quite a group of us there. He said, yes, we often did that. We would go to stand there, and then we would go to church together. And he said, there was a stranger in the group standing beside you. And he said, I told you I was going to the movie pictures show that night. And he said, you didn't do anything. You didn't say anything to stop me. Nor did you invite me to go along to church. And he lay back on his bed exhausted. Pretty soon he looked up at a girl. And he said, do you know me? He said, you've walked past my house numerous times on your way to youth activities. I saw you walking by, but never, never did you say anything to me. Never did you talk to me. Never did you encourage me to come and be a child of yours, of God's, I mean. I lay back on his bed. Wanted to talk some more. He said, I am so tired. Come back tomorrow, he told the pastor. Come back tomorrow. And we'll talk. And so early in the morning, the pastor went back to the house. Met the mother at the door. He said, as soon as I knew her, as soon as I saw her, I knew it was too late. She said, about 4 o'clock this morning, he died. So this youth group was involved in the funeral. And after that, they went to the pastor's house. And he said, we sat here in this very room. And we looked at the scriptures. We listened to God. And he said, that has made a change. Our youth are dynamic for God because of that experience. They're walking with him. They're interested in souls. They're interested in making people children of God. Because of that experience. Is that what it takes? Is that what it takes for us to become alive? Quite a few years ago, that tangent, it just seemed to me like we were drifting into a lackadaisical, know-it-all and knowing the right thing attitude. And some other people told me they were feeling the same thing. It wasn't something that came overnight, but it was gradual. The church was growing. We hadn't had any problems for a number of years. We didn't think anyway. One Sunday morning, two families came into church and sat on a back bench. That shook us up. It gave us something to do. They were asking for help. They wanted help in a spiritual way. And so they came to that church from 250 miles away. It woke us up. It gave us a vision. And out of that, you have the privilege of sitting here this morning. God doesn't make you need big things. Two families sitting on the back of the bench has come to what we have this morning. I didn't know there was anything in Stevens County. I didn't even know the name of the counties up here. Never been in this part of the state. Didn't have any desire to go. But God uses things to get our attention. Do we know Him? Are we listening to Him? I don't want us to go that way, to where we are just think, well, we've got it all made out. We had 100% of the church was in favor of outreach, and we just know how to do it. We don't know how to do it unless we're living for God, unless we're listening to God and walking with Him. Shall we pray?